And so if you have your Bibles, let's open them for just a few moments to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. I want to read part of the Easter story, and then we'll get right into the message. Brother Jeff, where are you? Let me see here. Brother Steve, can we get two of those air units on? It's stuffy. People are already waving things, and good. Thank you so much. Good. Ethan, you okay? All right, good. All right. Matthew chapter number 28, and let's stand in honor of God's word, if you would please, just for a moment, and I'll read just this short passage. Matthew chapter 28, if you're able, and Matthew 28, verse number 1, and the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. One little child was asked, 'What did the angel say?' I like what he said. Ta-da!" That's what he probably said in the Hebrew. In verse 3, "His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, 'Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples.'" Heavenly Father, bless now the brief time we have today. Thank you for the reason we're here. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have a cell phone, if you do what I've done, I've put mine on vibrate. It's on off, and that would be a blessing to those around you. Ushers, would you help everyone grab a seat, please? We don't want anyone to have to stand, all right? There's some good seats right here in the front. Front two rows. Velma needs a rich man, bachelor, to sit by her. If there's a few of you here, she didn't even know it till just now. And so, good. Here comes one right now, Velma. He's just like 19. Never mind. And so, years ago, our daughters were in Mrs. Brown's Sunday school class. Ms. Brown taught Sunday school for 45 years. And our girls came home one day, and I said, "So did they give you anything Easter Sunday?" And our girls said, "Our teacher gave us each empty tombs." I said, "She gave you an empty tomb? What do you mean?" And they pulled it out of their pocket. It was a little Cheerio. You know, a cereal, Cheerio. And she said, "This is the tomb. Look, he's not there. It's empty." And I thought, what a great visual aid for Easter Sunday morning. Defeat, then victory. Tears, then cheers. Sadness, now gladness. Failure, seemingly, then success. Hopelessness, then hope. Midnight, then sunrise. It's more than just a new outfit. Easter's more than a bunny and candy and a hunt. It's more than just a family get-together and meal. We visit cemeteries of loved ones because who is buried there? We visit Jesus' tomb because of who is not buried there. Amen. A Sunday school teacher asked the kids in her class, "So does anyone know what Easter is?" One little student raised their hand and said, "I know, it's when you watch the parades and everyone eats this big turkey." She said, "No, that's Thanksgiving." And another child raised their hand, "I know, it's when you have this tree and you decorate it and there's all these presents under the tree." "No, that's Christmas." One little student raised her hand and said, "Oh, I know what Easter is. It's when Jesus, God's Son, died on a cross, was buried, and rose again." And the teacher's excited, and they gathered around the tomb to see him when he came out. And if he saw his shadow, we had six more weeks of winter. And the Sunday school teacher said, "Class dismissed." We cannot have a resurrection without a crucifixion. The Bible is filled with many chapters describing in detail how Jesus suffered for us. We will never do much for God until we understand how much He did for us. Virgin born, sinless, preached, miracles, changed lives, betrayed, arrested, slapped, beaten, beard plucked, a crown, spit, whipped, nails, cross, mocked, sin substitute for us, died, was guarded. His disciples misunderstood. They were so defeated. They thought Jesus was coming to overthrow Rome and take over as the king. They didn't realize He first had to be the Savior. But now, here's the news. Tomb empty. He's alive. It's true. He conquered death. There is a heaven. This isn't all there is. The best is yet to come. One country preacher preached a whole sermon. And he said, it's Friday. And I have a different opinion on the day of the week, but for sake of time, it's Friday. He's crucified. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. It's all dark in the tomb. But Sunday's coming. In our nation, it's Friday. There are murders, but Sunday's coming. There is chaos, but Sunday's coming. There is open borders letting in a lot of criminals, but Sunday's coming. There's fentanyl running freely across our nation that's killing, but Sunday's coming. There's confusion, but Sunday's coming. There's disunity, but Sunday's coming. There's broken hearts and tears, but Sunday's coming. There is grief. Four funerals this week, people I knew. But Sunday's coming. There's a pastor up in Oregon right now. He's not in his pulpit. Went to heaven last week, passed away suddenly. For that church, it's Friday, it's dark, it's sad, but Sunday's coming. There's addiction, but Sunday's coming. Christmas time, we often see the little kids unwrap all their gifts, and they look at the last gift. You've heard it, if you're a parent. Is that all? Our society has tried every thrill there is to do. They purchase every possession there is to own. And now toward the end of their life, some of them are billionaires. They look at everything they have and they're wondering, is that all? Is that all? I just want to say this. If you've tried every thrill and everything there is to do and you're still empty today, I want you to know this earth is not all. This is not all there is. There's a place called heaven and it's real. The angels told us to do three things. I want to just list them quickly. Number one, they said, fear not. At the tomb, they looked at the disciples and said, fear not. We do fear when it comes to death. I do not like cemeteries. I'm a pastor. I go there often. About 500 times I've been to a cemetery to do a service. I don't like funeral directors. I don't like those guys. They're creepy. That's what the Bible calls them, creepy. And that word's not even in the Bible. I don't like being around them. I don't mind visiting a cemetery, but I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to picnic there. I'm not going to build a house there. Why? It's temporary. It's temporary for a Christian. He says, fear not. Heard about this fella. He was dating this girl. He is walking home from seeing her and took a shortcut across the cemetery. He didn't realize they were going to bury someone the next day. There was an open tomb, a big hole in the ground. He didn't see it. He's already kind of creeped out just being in the cemetery. He trips and falls in that dark hole. He jumps, screams, hollers, claws, tries to get out. He can't. It's pitch black. He finally sits on the ground at the end of the cemetery plot, just waiting for morning for someone to rescue him. A few hours later, another fellow took the same shortcut. Don't know if he's dating the same girl or not, but took the same shortcut. He didn't see the open hole in the ground, tripped and fell in the grave. on the opposite end of the grave. He jumped, screamed, called, tried to get out, couldn't. It's dark. The second guy never saw the first guy. After a little while, the first guy spoke up and said, "Hey, man, you can't get out of here." But he did. But he did. And God says, "Fear not." Heard about this fella. He drove an Uber. This lady jumped in the car and she got in the back seat. And he drove about, maybe 20 minutes. And finally she tapped him on the shoulder and says, "Hey, let me ask you something." He screamed, blood-curdling scream, almost wrecked the car, pulled over. And she says, "I'm sorry, what did I do?" He said, "Ma'am, it's not your fault." He said, "This is my first day ever driving Uber. For 25 years, I drove a hearse." Okay, just forget it. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. God uses death and suffering to get us focused on what's after this and to loosen our grip. The Bible says the jailer, the jail keepers, or the guys keeping the prison, the tomb, were in fear. We rename death. We call it past, expired, deceased, left, departed. But the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Jesus removed the stinger out of death because he conquered it. In Africa, they do not say about their loved one, their departed loved one. They think of heaven and they say their arrived loved one. Down here, we think of our loss when a loved one passes. In heaven, they think of their gain. We say, "There they go." Up in heaven, they say, "Here they come." God says, "Fear not." Jesus didn't like death either. I've done many funerals. I've looked throughout Scripture to find out, how did Jesus do a funeral? What did Jesus do when someone died? Here's what he did. He walked up to a cemetery procession. He touched where the young boy who passed away was, and the boy rose from the dead. He came to a little girl's house and called her, "Young girl, arise," and she rose from the dead. He came to Lazarus' grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus got up out of his grave and came out alive. How could Jesus do that? That's who he was. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He looked at the disciples as last night and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You cannot kill life. When he died on the cross, he looked at the thief nailed next to him. Here's what he said: "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," or in heaven. He was saying, "Yes, I'm dying now, but in a moment I'll be alive and walking the streets of gold, introducing you to all the angels I know." Amen. You can't kill him. He decided when to die on that cross. Pastor friend of mine, his daddy was a pastor and an evangelist named Tony Hudson. Tony was with his dad. He had a long illness and his dad was getting ready to pass. And he said, "Dad, they tell me for a Christian to go to heaven, it's like crossing a river. You see heaven in the distance, you see the lights, you see Jesus. Is it like crossing a river, Dad?" He said, "No, Tony, it's just a stream. It's just a stream. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, and it won't be long." Amen. First he says, "Fear not." Secondly, here's what the angel says to you and me. He says, "Come see." Come see what? Come see the evidence. You know, there are some people that don't know if there's a heaven or hell, and they don't care to know if there is a heaven or hell. They don't know if there's an afterlife, and they don't care to investigate. No amount of evidence is enough for someone who chooses not to believe. If Jesus Christ walked in here right now in his glorified body, in his robe, the nail prints, for some of you, that would not be enough. Because you've chosen not to believe. Hey, this lifetime is a time to investigate. You better figure it out. I shared it with a man. His wife almost died this week, was septic in the hospital and pneumonia. I said, what are you going to tell the kids when they get older? When they say, Mom and Dad, are we going to heaven or hell? Is there an afterlife? I said, what are you going to tell them? You got to figure it out. You got to better buy your Bible. You better read it and figure it out. And if there is no afterlife, you need to let me know so we can shut this church down. Because I'm not going to be here lying three times a week and telling you there's an afterlife if there's not. Okay. Pastor, how strange are you? I know. I asked my wife, I'm even stranger than this. Only one religion had a founder that said he would rise from the dead, and that's Jesus Christ. 500. Come see the evidence for a moment. 500 eyewitnesses saw him. It takes two eyewitnesses to convict a man of murder. 500 saw Jesus. The tomb is empty. Rome, who ruled the world, all these massive soldiers couldn't find his corpse. We date our time BC before Christ. No other man in history before Christ. He is cursed today. Many times Jesus or God's name is added to cuss words. They don't cuss dead people. They only cuss living people. When's the last time a man at work hit his thumb with a hammer and said, Buddha, blank. Buddha's mama. What? I've never heard that. Muhammad's mother. What? No, but it's Jesus they curse. Change lives. You know, I know so much about so many of you people that attend regularly. I would never tell it. But I know who you were before. You look so perfect. People say, oh, look at all these perfect Christians here. But I knew you before. I knew what we got when we got you. And you know who has changed your life? Not this man. But the one that rose from the dead. Amen. He changed my daddy's life. Changed my mama's life. He's still working on my brother. It's to change lives. You ask an addict who received Christ as Savior, what got you off of heroin? Well, it was AA or NA. Many will say it was that man named Jesus Christ. A changed life. What put your marriage back together? Some man named Jesus Christ. What made you move to a mission field and bring the gospel to a foreign field and leave America? Who was that? Oh, his name is Jesus Christ. Here's another evidence, Sunday worship. The Jews always worshiped on Saturday, the Sabbath. Why all of a sudden do all of our churches worship on Sunday? Here's why. He rose on Sunday, so the disciples started meeting and celebrating every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. Why would they buck the system? Because he arose. He arose on Sunday. Come see the evidence. A fellow by the name of, not Aristotle, but Aristides, 125 AD, wrote a letter to his friend about Christianity, explaining why this new religion was so successful. Now I'm quoting, "If any righteous man among the Christians passes from this world, they rejoice and offer thanks to God, and they escort his body with songs and thanksgiving," listen to this, "as if he were setting out from one place to another nearby." Christianity. The comfort we have at someone's passing away proves that Jesus is alive. You ever been to a funeral where no one believes in God? I have. I've heard the wails, the screams. I've seen them start to fall into the hole. I've seen them all show up high on drugs. How come? There's no hope. That's good. there. They're looking in the hole, their loved one. It's over. Goodbye. Nice knowing you. I'll never see you again. There's no hope. But for us that know Jesus Christ, believe that he rose from the dead, there is hope. There's a resurrection. There is a place called heaven. It's a place of reunions. It's see you later, alligator. I'll see you soon. I got a sweet text from the pastor's wife in Oregon this morning, Karen Cavanis. She said, my husband's in heaven today. It pains me, but I know I'm going to see him again, and it won't be long. That's the comfort that the resurrection gives. Brother Steve, would you help me just out in the lobby? Would you? Just out in the lobby. Help me. Thank you. There was a communist that looked at someone. Brother Labrico, would you help? Thanks. There was a communist that looked at a man and said, you know, communism will put a new suit on that man. There was a Christian there. He looked and said, Christianity will put a new man in that suit. There's so much evidence. Let me hasten. He says, fear not. Then he says, come see. Then he says, go tell. Go tell what? The tomb is not empty or open to let Jesus out. It's empty so we can look in. Go tell what? There is an afterlife. There is a heaven. Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, was speaking in a large city, and he was doing a little shopping, and he saw a young man, really an older boy. And he said, hey, son, he said, can you give me directions to the post office? Is that around here somewhere? He said, yes, sir, it's down a few blocks and to the right. And then Billy Graham gave him a flyer and said, would you like to come hear me preach tonight at the stadium? I'm going to preach on how to know you're going to heaven. The little boy said, no, I won't be coming. You don't even know where the post office is. There is a heaven. What's it prove to us? Go tell. Jesus is the way to heaven. He is coming back. We get a brand new body. Some of you folks that your body's starting to give out. I said your body is starting to give out. Either it doesn't work or it hurts all the time. When you moan more getting in and out of bed than you moaned your whole life as a kid, guess what? Up in heaven, God's preparing a brand new body. I'm going to preach a whole message on it next week, what heaven's going to be like. But we get a whole brand new body, young, to enjoy heaven with. Not only that, but there's reunions. Scripture talks about people meeting us in heaven. I got a lot of people I'm going to see up there. A lot. Been here a long time. A lot of our members are up there. I've got relatives up there. I've got friends up there. I got some recent entries who just went there. Go tell. Go tell what? He cares for you. He loves you. Go tell what? The Great Commission. Our job is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I end with this. If you want to get somewhere, if you want to take a journey, guesswork is probably the worst way to plan. So what do you mean? Most people plan more on their trip to Disneyland than they plan on their eternity, where they're going to spend forever. I heard this story and then I'm finished. A famous singer by the name of Ruth Ann Metzer. Probably you have all of her music. Yeah, right. She was a famous soloist. Her and her husband were invited to this very fancy wedding. She was the singer. If I named the person's wedding, maybe you would know, maybe not. But the reception was going to be out of control. Live band, you name the foods, the lobster, the caviar, you name it. Just, it was going to be the most elegant meal she had ever attended. She sang. Then the whole entourage from the wedding got in vehicles to go to this huge motel where the reception would take place. Everyone dressed very fancy. Her and her husband walked to the door to walk into the reception. I mean, you could smell the food. You name it, it was there. The who's who of society was there. And she started to go in and they said, name? She said, I'm the singer. Ruth Ann Metzer. They said, your name. Ruth Ann Metzer. We don't see it here. She said, I just sang at the wedding. Yes, ma'am. But we don't see your name for the reception. Did you RSVP like everybody else did? She said, are you kidding me? I remember getting an invitation, but I got so busy. I never reserved a spot. The guy at the door said, okay, help them to the elevator. They brought them to the elevator, pushed the button. They went down to the bottom level where their car was parked. They missed the most exquisite reception of her career. She's got too busy to RSVP. And she missed it. You know, Jesus Christ, because of the cross and the empty tomb, has sent you an invitation. It's not just an hour-long party. It's for all eternity. And he doesn't want you to ever go home after it. But you got to RSVP. No one else can do it for you. You must personally accept him into your heart. And that gives you the reserved spot for all eternity. Have you done that? It's good news he rose from the dead, but did he rise from the dead for you? He said, well, I don't know. You would remember a time and a place and maybe even the date when you heard the good news that God loved you, paid for your sins, rose again, and by faith you accepted that, you accepted him into your heart. If you've never done that, today's the day. Today's the day.